2016 presents.
Hello and welcome to Only Films, a podcast for film shooters and analog camera lovers. My name is Mandy Left. I'm a film photographer, and today I am very happy because I'm talking to someone very special for this special episode. I'm talking to Emma Lloyd, who at the moment is in Australia. So I have quite a few questions for Emma about shooting film in Australia, and also about, I don't know, how the community is over there, about film labs and camera shops. So, okay, Emma, first of all, could you introduce yourself?
Hi everyone, I'm Emma. I just want to preface this by saying that it's taken Mandy and I about 20 minutes to figure out this cool situation because I'm currently living on an island on the Great Barrier Reef with no Wi-Fi. I was also late to the call because I saw a turtle and decided to climb up the hill to get a photo of it. So we're in a very unique situation right now.
That's true.
But I'm Emma. You might know me from Analog Wonderland. I used to work there in marketing. And yeah, that's me. I shoot film. I'm in Australia now. Just, I don't know, living my best life. My brain hasn't done any, talking to many people in a while because I'm living on an island with just my boyfriend and two other people currently. So it's really nice to talk to you, Mandy.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that it was so empty. I know all the guests are going to start coming soon, but I didn't know that it was, literally just, a few people.
Yeah, I can't wait to get some fresh blood on the island, honestly. I'm literally losing my mind.
Well, I mean, from your stories, which I really enjoy to watch, I mean, you're living in paradise, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. I feel so lucky that we found this job. It's been really interesting going around because with, the cost of living crisis and everything, people have said that the typical kind of Australian backpacker dream is just over because it's so expensive. Like over Christmas to get a hostel, it was about £2,000 for the week, and that's for a hostel. We wanted to find a unique job like this, and we didn't really think we'd have much luck, but we got super lucky, and we're working on the Great Barrier Reef snorkeling every day, and it's amazing. I feel so lucky.
Oh my god, that sounds like a dream. But then I was thinking, if you're snorkeling, do you have a waterproof film camera?
No, Mandy, don't get me started on this saga. The amount of people I've messaged about Nikon's bloody waterproof cameras. I've got Chris Faulkner with eBay alerts set on his account telling me when one's come up. He's also said I should try just getting you can get these waterproof housings that you just put on film cameras that are apparently 20 meter deep safe. I've been emailing an account called Nikoros or something. I need to find it. And they're Nikonos camera expert, and they're the only people in the world that still service them apparently. But they were amazing and sent me loads of advice. I found one on Facebook Marketplace in the area. I mean, I've been down every avenue. I think it all comes down to the fact that I'm working on an island on minimum wage and I can't really be spending £600 on a camera. like to torture ourselves with these things.
But it would be ideal. Oh, what a shame that you don't have one. But anyway, you have others because I remember that you actually packed, I don't know if it was a full suitcase almost with cameras and film and all sorts of camera gear. So can you just tell us a little bit of what you took with you and why you decided to take that, if you took film as well, or if you just decided to buy it over there?
So it was really hard to choose what cameras I took, so I started with just my Pentax K1000 because I just wanted a reliable SLR camera that I'm confident with. then I just took a like Canon point and shoot, and I took a Polaroid Go. I really wanted my SX70, but it didn't make the cut. I also wanted to bring another point and shoot, and I had it in my bag at the airport, and my mum saw that I'd snuck another camera in and took it away from me. But since then, some friends have come out, and they also brought me my Penny half frame from home, and I have bought a few disposable waterproof cameras while I've been here as well. But it's hard because you want them all for different reasons, but practically I'm carrying around my whole life on my back, so to add film cameras to it as well is just it's too much.
Did you take any medium format with you, because you have a Rollycord?
Yeah, I didn't take it. I brought two rolls of HP5 with me, because I was like, then if I buy a new camera, at least I'll be ready to test it out. But that hasn't happened yet. Just sticking to 35mm.
That makes sense. Yeah,
but I did bring a lot of film with me. I literally brought all the film I have. I just thought, well, it's either with me or it's sitting at home, definitely not getting shot, and I've kind of stockpiled it for years, and it felt like I was saving it for this moment, and it just means I'm not spending money on it while I'm here, so
yeah, that makes sense as well, because then you can just start shooting that, and you know, I guess you don't really need to develop it straight away. You can just start shooting and then just have all the rolls to develop at some point.
That's what's happening at the moment, which is kind of torturous. I need to keep better log of what I'm shooting, because I don't remember what's on each roll. And then when you go to the lab, you can't like prioritize what you want developed first.
That's true.
But I'll get it done eventually. Yeah. You were very kind and sent me a voucher for Film Never Die, and another friend did as well. So I do have some developing vouchers to cash in.
Oh, that's true, yeah, because Film Never Die, I just saw it on your stories as well, and I thought, okay, so this is the lab that Emma has available over there. So I thought that was a good idea, but I don't really know them. So how did you meet them? Did you just find them online?
So I think Paul at Analog Wonderland knew them through the community, and then I think we wanted to get them like in the Wonder Box or something, and we were interested in buying their film, so I had like Zoom calls with the owner before. And then when I came out here, I got in touch with him, and he's been so kind. Like, as soon as I met him, he took me out for coffee, invited me on their first photo walk. It was just gave me a free t-shirt and all the merch from the lab. Like, it's just like the film community all over. They're just so welcoming and lovely.
Oh, that's so nice. So would you say that the film community over there is kind of has the same vibe that that the one in the UK?
Yeah, so far from what I've experienced, it's all been really positive, but I haven't experienced much of it yet. But the photo walk with Film Never Die was amazing. And then when I was in Adelaide as well, some photographers I knew on Instagram recommended I joined their Facebook group, and we ended up arranging a photo walk in Adelaide, and they took me around, showed me the place, lent me some cameras. Like, we just had such a lovely day. And it's crazy that, you know, these people are literally strangers in a new country I've never met before. But film photography just kind of unites you and gives you loads to talk about. So, yeah, I'm so glad to be part of it, because it's allowed me to make friends in a new space, like, quite easily.
That's what we like about film photography as well. I mean, I have to say now that my first photo walk ever was the one that you organized with the She Hats film, and that was like that meant so much to me. Then my second one was analog meetups, and so on, you know. And I've just been, you know, that was the first taste of a photo walk, and I will always be grateful to you because of you know organizing such a beautiful group of people, and because it was like a very special project, and that has to do with what we're going to talk about today as well, because we are recording this episode also thinking of the International Women's Day, and we have a few projects to talk about the project that we want to do for this special day. And yeah, but then I just want to go back to the community over there, and I guess for you it's hard, or it's going to be hard right now to get back to it, because you are quite isolated. So I don't know when you will get back to being with the community doing photo walks.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I do have plans to go back to Melbourne, but for now I think as much as I love the UK community, my whole Instagram feed is still very much things happening in the UK. I'd like to just meet more Australian photographers online and get in more of like the online community first, and then hopefully when I go back to more of a city I'll be able to jump straight in. But you've introduced me to Will, who's moved out here recently, and he's in a similar position to me, and he's had so many positive things to say about walks and things he's been on. Also in Melbourne there were just so many labs, I couldn't believe it. When I went to film Never Die, there was a guy there, I can't remember his name, I need to find out, who was Gary's friend, the owner, and he had made a spreadsheet of every film lab in Australia just for fun, just because he could.
Wow.
And I think Melbourne had some of the most, like, per city in the whole country, if that makes sense. Like, in the UK,
okay,
in terms of independent labs, a lot of them you'll find, like, in a warehouse unit or in an estate. They're not, like, front-facing on the high street. But in Melbourne, just walking along the high street, I've just bumped into labs, and I was like, what? Like, these are normally hidden gems, and there's just independent labs on the high street with like the coolest displays and just so, you know, classic hipster cool lab. So that's been amazing.
Oh, that's really good. And are there any labs, like, because something that I would love to see at some point in the UK is like a lab with a cafe, you know, so then people can just go there, develop their film, have a chat with other film photographers. Does that exist over there?
I haven't seen one yet, but where Film Never Die is, there's a coffee shop like next door, and they're obviously all kind of mates, and it's their kind of local one they go to. I do know loads of people in the UK who've said that's their dream to set up a business like that, but I think just the logistics of it are so hard with just rent and making money and stuff.
True. I guess that's right.
And I wonder if that's, I mean, I don't know much about the Australian rent and stuff, but I just wondered if that's why there are more high street labs, because maybe it's more affordable to set up your business on the high street, whereas in London it's just crazy to have an actual shop in central London.
Yeah, I suppose. And then, okay, so then how are the film labs over there? Like, how do prices compare? Are they just as expensive, or just as, I don't know, what can you tell me about the prices, and do they sell film?
Yeah, all of them have had loads of film, which has been really nice, but I was surprised that none of them seemed to have it in the fridge. It was just kind of on shelves.
Okay.
But I guess all the shops are air conditioned, so maybe that's why. So I used Film Never Die. I think it was like, oh, I want to say like $50 to develop two rolls of colour film, which is about £25.
Okay. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on the scans, I guess.
So I didn't think it was too bad, really.
No, it's fine. It's fine, actually. Did you get high resolution scans with that, or just normal?
I think that was just normal. But to be fair, the first photo walk I went on with Film Never Die, they gave everybody film and paid for their development from that walk.
Well, that's not bad, is it?
Yeah, so that I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy generous. I don't know if they do that on every walk, but that was pretty impressive.
And also, like, are their photo walks like so as massive as the ones that Analog Meetups organises in London?
I don't think so. The one I went on in Melbourne, there was maybe like 25 people. But I think, I was thinking about this earlier, like say you're in Leeds and you see there's a photo walk in London, you can get down to London in like 2 hours. Whereas if you're in like Melbourne and there's a photo walk, you know, in Sydney, that's like 8 hours or more. Like the expanse of the country is just so much bigger. I don't think it's as easy for people to just like hop around and go to different walks in different places.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the distances are a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about something that I've seen on your stories recently, and you started not long ago. And I saw this and I thought, this is so cool, and I've been watching all of them. Your camera hour.
I'm just documenting me slowly losing my mind for you all to enjoy on social media. So I guess our days here, we like work early in the morning, and then there's a point in the day where it's just like too hot to do anything. So Aidan, my partner, just chills in a hammock, and I was finding myself just lying under the fan in our house, just scrolling on TikTok, and I just thought, it's such a waste, like I'm in such an amazing place, and if I was to leave and think, like, what did I do with my time, and it was just doom scrolling, I know I would regret it. So I decided to have camera hour. I've got so much film with me still, and loads of like black and white and stuff that I haven't wanted to shoot. So I thought it would force me to try and do some different things, and also just hold me accountable to be creative. And I don't know, like, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, as I think everyone does, but I do want to be on there and grow my presence. So if I had a sort of little series I could do, it would mean I was doing something every day without being on social media. You like doom scrolling. I was coming on with a purpose.
And what have you done so far? Because obviously it's a very isolated place, there are not that many people, so how are you finding, you know, thinking of a subject or a theme, or what are you taking photos of?
It's hard. At the beginning, I think I was just going on a walk and like, oh, this is nice, that is nice. But I think this is the fifth day, and already it feels like it's getting challenging. So I don't know. I've been asking people on Instagram for ideas. I think I don't want to sound ungrateful to where I am, because it's so beautiful. But you'd probably say the same, Mandy, like, you're not a landscape photographer, like, that's not what interests you. So it's, I guess it's pushing me out of my comfort zone a bit, but I have been looking at getting, like, you showed me this self-timer gadget I could get for my Pentax.
Oh, yeah.
So I could do some, like, of my own portraits or something. I mean, I can take photos of my partner, but I just don't think he doesn't want a model for me. Like, he's not interested, and I don't want to bother him. Like, I want an enthusiastic model.
Exactly.
But maybe when guests are here, it'll be different. There's also our managers here that I could ask, but I'd feel a bit awkward about it. There are a lot of animals on the island, though, so that might be more interesting.
I don't know.
I just want to experiment and just leave with loads of photos. I'd quite like to make a zine or something about my time here.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Because are you going to be in the island for a while yet, or are you gonna? What are your plans?
So I think we'll be here till May. My boyfriend's going home for a wedding, and I think when he goes home, I'll just move on and travel somewhere else in Australia, because I just might as well go somewhere else and try something different. But I will be so sad to leave, because it's just like a once in a lifetime place. It's so special.
It is, yeah. So, okay, so now I think it would be good to talk about our projects for the International Women's Day. So Emma, well, she started this initiative called She Has Film some time ago. That's what I mentioned before about the first photo walk that I ever attended to. And now Emma also has a project called Grainsplaining. She has been doing podcasts, and there will be more podcast episodes of Grainsplaining coming out soon. But then you also have a project on the Grainsplaining, right? And I think it's a very good idea, and I want you to kind of explain what it is and why you thought about it.
Okay. I'm quite nervous about it because I haven't done anything like this before. But She Hearts Film was such a big part of my like career in film, if you want to say, and I just loved the impact it had and what I did. But that project lives with Analog Wonderland now, and hopefully they'll continue it and see it grow. So it just got me thinking, what could I do on my own or through Grainsplaining? So I'm going to try to organise a charity print day for Women's Month. So this will be under the Grainsplaining feed. And do you want me to like explain the rules of it?
Yeah, because then people can try and participate and see how they can participate. So from what I understand, you can just use a hashtag.
So the idea is, I want people to sell their prints, but for charity. So throughout the month of March, which is Women's Month, if you post your work online, I'll mainly be using Instagram, but if you're still on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, or TikTok, you can post your work with the hashtag IWD, Frame the Grain, and any work under that hashtag, you're effectively putting it up for sale. And then on the on the bank holiday weekend, which is the 29th of March to the 1st of April, that will be like the official print sale weekend. So people can go on, search for that tag and browse all the submissions. And if there's a photo you like, you can reach out directly to the photographer and arrange to buy it from them. But rather than paying the photographer directly, you will donate some money to a women's charity, send them a screenshot to prove that you've donated, and then they will send you their print.
Okay, I mean, I think I've never heard of this before. It's a new thing for me. So how did you think of it? Because I guess you wanted to create something from where you were, and I mean, if you were here, I would imagine that you would have organized a photo walk or something like this. But I guess you just try to think of something that you could do
Yeah, exactly.
Online. Yeah.
I knew it had to be virtual. So I've taken part in an event like this before, which was run by, I think his name is Jim Morton on Instagram, and he just did a photo print day. I think he does it every year, and it just works the exact same way. So I reached out to him about it and asked for some advice, and he said he'd never done anything like it before. He was just winging it too. So that's what I'm going with. But I'm hoping it will be a great way for people to share their work and support some women's charities at the same time. But I want everyone to enter. It's not just women. I want everyone to get behind it, and also just like to encourage people to print their work. I think because social media is so huge now. Like, I can't remember the last time I had one of my photos printed and framed, which feels a bit crazy considering how much film we shoot and how many photos we take, that none of it is like living beyond our phone. So I think it will be nice for people to do that as well.
Yeah, because I think it has been true for me. I have for years only seen my photos on a screen at the end of the day and the negatives, and you think, what's the point of doing that, right? It's just crazy now to think that you just never print your work. And I think that's the experience for many people. And I think, yeah, what you're saying about kind of encouraging photographers to print their work, it's also a good benefit of this project.
Yeah, and even if you have existing work that's printed, I think when I entered the print sale before, I just took a photo of all these old darkroom prints I had that I wasn't using, and someone in Canada brought one of my prints. So like,
oh wow,
it was so crazy, like my work is on someone's wall in Canada. Like, I think it's just such a great opportunity and such a confidence boost for you as a photographer as well. If someone was to buy your work, it's just such a nice feeling.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think everybody should then try to get involved and make your prints. And talking about prints, you know, I was talking about prints and thinking of the dark room because that's where I am every week at the moment. And I was printing yesterday, and then I was thinking how nice it is also to try different dark rooms, because then each dark room has their own community. I'm obviously talking about community dark rooms. But then I was thinking of the community dark room that you are helping out with marketing. And I know there is a open day coming up. So when is this, or what are you doing with this dark room? What's that dark room like? What's in it? So if you can tell us a little bit as well about that one, that'd be great, because maybe people who are in London might just go and visit and see what it's like, if it works for them.
Yeah, definitely. So the open day is this Saturday, so I think it will have happened by the time this comes out, but the place is called SAME, which stands for the Shoreditch Academy of Image Making. Again, I knew them from Analog Wonderland. We'd held a few workshops at their space, but they're really trying to grow and get more workshops out, grow their following, and just build a community around them. A really amazing space. I mean, Shoreditch, like, if you speak to a lot of photographers in the community in London, like, that's where they spend their weekends shooting. It's a great location. They've got a dark room, like a max suite. They've got digital scanners. They've got dip and dunk tanks. They've got a photo studio. They've got really great facilities. And the two guys that run it, Adrian and Jacko, they both come from an educational background. So Adrian used to write some of the courses at University of the Arts London. He's worked in the fashion industry, so they're really experienced guys.
That's really good.
Yeah, they're a bit old school, so that's where I'm coming in to help with like the marketing and stuff. But they are amazing, and I really hope this open day puts them on the map. And if you're in London and just want to learn some darkroom skills, or if you're a digital shooter, though, but you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Nope.
it's a really great space, and I was talking to Mandy about it. It's nice to have a place where you could kind of complete the whole circle. You could shoot in the studio, go to the darkroom, develop your film, and then print your images as well. You could scan them in on the Macs there. They have like Photoshop facilities too. You could do it all. So they really are a great space.
I mean, that's what I like, you know, one place where you can do everything. So you can shoot in the studio, then develop, then print. I mean, that sounds like the perfect day for me.
Yeah, and it's in a great space because you've got the photo book cafe down the road, you've got the Brick Lane Market with Vintage Camera Hut around the corner. Like, there's lots of cool analogue things happening in that area. And I think community darkrooms have had a hard time, especially like after COVID, and a lot of them are still kind of recovering, but they are such a great place to network and meet other photographers and collaborate and all that sort of thing. So yeah, find your local darkroom and get there.
Yeah, because, you know, I always talk about the darkroom I go to, which is Air Street in Leeds. And yesterday, for example, I was there and then I met someone new. And then I saw what he was doing, and he was doing solarizations, and I was like, oh, how do you do that? Do you know how to do them?
I did a lot of my like fine art degree on solarization and like alternative darkroom techniques. So yeah, I love that stuff.
Okay, so how do you do it, or how did you do it?
A lot of trial and error. Because so Man Ray, who like discovered it, I mean, I'll probably get the story a bit wrong, but it was by accident. Like, he'd made a print and then his assistant or something turned the lights on by mistake, and he just got this really cool effect. So there were some shots I did and it worked really well. Like, I'd half develop the print and then give it a flash of exposure on another enlarger with no negative in, and then develop it. But there were some where it just didn't work at all. I think sometimes it depended on the negative itself, like a more contrasty photo or something would always work better. But yeah, so much fun to do that stuff.
Because he was doing it like whilst the print was in the tray with the developer, like halfway through he would just shine a light, like he literally was like the torch on his phone.
Yeah, there's so many ways you could do it.
Yeah, but then he was saying the same. It's like, well, you know, you never know if it's going to come out all right, or you have to try with different negatives. But that's a good point, like trying with a contrasty one.
Yeah, there's so many fun things you can do in the darkroom. I think people just see these like polished darkroom prints where they're doing the burning and dodging and that sort of like fine art level. But there is the other end of the spectrum. Like, do you follow Dark Slide Lab in America? It's run by, I don't know her last name, but Emily. So it's like a female-owned lab, and she's been doing a fundraiser for her lab to get a new scanner and to raise money. Yeah. She's done like a series of prints of the same negative, but they're all completely different because she's done all these experimental things to them while developing them. Like, she's got a paintbrush with developer and just like flicked it on the sheet of photographic paper, so the photo develops in like different places and in random ways. Like, there's so much you can do.
Wow. Of course, I mean, it's just knowing about it, and that's what I find that the community darkroom gives you, because, you know, you might just be there chatting with someone and or just looking at what they're doing and you think, oh wow, I didn't know that, and then, you know, that gives you inspiration to just give it a go yourself.
Yeah, definitely, because unless you're on some random like analog forum talking about these things, these like magical darkroom arts just kind of live in these spaces. I think that's why it's important to keep it alive so the skills continue.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. So yeah, so everybody just try to see if you have a community dark room around. I mean, I know there are a lot of people with their own dark room, which that's amazing because it's just so easy. You don't have to go anywhere, it's just there. But I think still it's nice just to be part of a community dark room in a way, just to talk to other people. If they organize events, attend those events, because that's the way as well to, I feel that's the way to elevate your practice by talking to other people, right?
I was just about to say, like, personally, because I set up a little dark room at home after uni because we got kicked out of uni during COVID and I needed a space to carry on with my degree. But there was only so far I could go on my own. Like, yeah, I could look on YouTube, I could Google things, but sometimes having a hands-on experience, like a teacher there or another, like, colleague, there's always someone who's going to be better than you and there's always someone you can learn from. So, yeah, I think they're really important spaces.
It is, yeah. Perfect. Okay, so then now I just want to talk about a project that I want to do, and it's going to take me some time, but I just want people to help me out with this. So basically, I've had this idea for a while, and because talking about women film photographers, and sometimes I don't think people realize how many there are. I think we are a lot of women shooting film, and I just want to celebrate that fact. And I thought I would love to take portraits of women film photographers and make a scene and then publish it, like, in a year's time, for the next International Women's Day. And then I think, you know, kind of coming from your idea of doing, like, a print sale to raise funds for women's charities, I think it would be really good just to do the same and sell it just, like, for just fundraising, basically. So that's my idea. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be amazing. I think it would just, like, prove a point.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it. That's what I was thinking. That's what I want to do. I want to say, you know, look at this scene. There's so many. We are so many shooting film. You can't deny it now.
That would be amazing.
So, yeah, I just don't really know how I'm going to do it. But maybe you have some ideas for me.
So I actually wanted to do something similar ages ago. And remember when at the first Analog Spotlight, Marina, If We Film, had a little sessions where you could go and ask her for advice on things. You went to her as well, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so I actually asked her about doing something like this. But my idea was to, not women photographers, it was just going to be women on the street, like strangers, and I was going to ask to take their photo and then also ask them the question, if you were a man today, what would you do? And pair the photos with what they'd said. And I kind of started doing it. I don't know if you remember at the Analog Meetups walk where we had the picnic.
I remember, yes.
And I was asking people to write that down.
Yeah.
And I've got some of the answers with me. Some of them are so funny. But... Yeah, anyway, I think anything like that, that is just giving women a voice or a platform or just, I think it's good, just amazing. And, like, the advice Marina had for me was to just do it. And clearly I haven't, but I think you can just overthink these ideas. But really it's simple in that you're at meetups most weekends with other women photographers. Yeah. Just take their photos. I guess the only questions you have is if you want it to all be the same film stock and the same camera, or if that doesn't matter to you.
I think it does matter. I want to do it on, like, I want to shoot black and white.
Yeah, because that's something as well.
Right? Yeah, because I feel like I want to be, like, own the process as much as possible, and I will be able to develop the film myself easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be so nice if you'd done it start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I've never made a scene before, so this is going to be my first.
I think it's the same with zines. Like, I haven't done it either, but it's been on my, like, bucket list for so long.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to get caught up in, like, what printer are you going to use and, like, mm-hmm. how big should it be? But a zine, I think the like name of it comes from like independent magazine, and it's just a magazine mm-hmm. that someone's published on their own, and sometimes that could literally be they photocopied loads of A4 pieces of paper and stapled them together. Yeah. Or it could be the other end of the spectrum where you get it done professionally, but I think just getting the photos first is like the most important thing, and then the rest will just follow. And there are so many people in the community that have made them who could give advice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will definitely need some advice. And then my idea right now is just to start shooting as soon as possible for it and just take the rest of the year just to do it, and then start putting it together by the end of the year, so then I can have it all printed and ready for the 8th of March in 2025. Oh, I think
that would be so special.
Yeah, I really, really want to do this, and I think if I'm saying it now on this day, it's going to be 1 year.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Yes, that's it. So, so if anybody is listening and wants to be photographed by me and be on this scene, that would be great. So you would be helping me with my project, and also you will be helping a charity. But yeah, so I think black and white, and I think I will probably approach people individually, also in photo walks on Instagram. I will see how I manage, but I want to get as many as possible. And just to, as you said before, just to prove the point, basically.
Yeah. I think you should choose what camera you want to use, and then whatever cameras you're taking on a walk or a meetup, just always have that one with you, loaded with that stock. And just, like, be really good at keeping a record of the date and where you shot it, because I think that would be a nice detail to have in the book as well, like what meetup it was at.
Have
you seen that makes sense. Analog meetups are making a zine as well.
They are, that's so good. Because they're like kind of like the 6th anniversary, and they are asking for photos of meetups, right? Any photo that people have shot during a meetup.
I think it'll be so interesting to see. It'll be like a kind of looking through an old school yearbook and seeing your photos from walks like years ago will all look like little babies.
I know, and actually I have to say I already sent mine. I sent what did you send?
I sent the photo of you lying on the grass with all the cameras.
Oh no way, that's so beautiful.
And one of Wayne, who fell asleep on the grass. On the
picnic. I remember that.
I think he'd had a bit too many glasses of Pimm's or something.
I remember that. That was a good day, that.
that was a really good walk.
Oh, so I sent one that I took, I think it was on my Rollycord, and it was a photo that I took during my first photo walk ever with them. And that's where I met Peter, who is in the photo. Peter, this is how I roll. And then in the photo, I think there is... Oh, yeah, there are quite a few people. So one of them is Laura.
Aww.
Yeah, and then she's there in the photo. On Instagram, she's like lauz.cam, I think. So lauz.cam. And then the other one who's next to Laura is Cherry Lee.
Oh!
Yes.
My favourite. Oh my gosh. Yeah. One of the episodes I have coming out is actually with Laura that I recorded a while ago. I always think of like Sherilee, Laura, you.
Yeah.
I think like Izzy Farr.
Oh yes.
Sarah as like the original She Hearts Film girls because you came on the first walk. Paula as well. Like there's a few others.
Paula. But,
yeah.
Holly. Aww. Photoscore archive.
Holly, of course, Holly. Oh my god. Sorry, Holly.
Yeah. And who else? No, it's just like we were quite a few. I think we were 15 in total, 20, and to be
15 or 20, yeah.
15 or 20, and just to be the first She Has Film photo walk, I thought that was quite a good number.
Yeah, I thought, like having been on loads of walks now, I think smaller walks are actually my favourite.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, I love them, and I love the chaos of the big walks too, but the smaller walks. I mean, I felt like I got to know almost each of you on a, like, individual level on that walk. Like, it felt a bit more intimate, if that's the word, and just a bit more chilled. Like, I did another She Hearts Film walk in London, like, the weekend the Christmas lights got turned on, and it was at night, and there was about 40 of us, and that was just, like, carnage.
But I remember, was that the one sponsored by Cinesteel?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so everybody got a roll of Cinesteel, so, you know, you have to attend that.
Yeah,
that was a good one because I also met a lot of new people that then join Only Films. So, yeah, it was a very good one, that one. I have very good memories of that photo walk, even though it was massive.
It's just weird thinking of like a specific walk and thinking how it has impacted the course of your life. I know that sounds really dramatic, but like if I hadn't done that She Hearts Film walk, I don't know if I would have got offered like a marketing role at Analog Wonderland, like like all these things. And the same for you, you went on that first walk and like now film photography is just such a huge part of your life. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy.
One thing like a photo walk can just have a massive impact, which is exactly what you're saying, and that's it for me. I mean, I am a good example of that because it's just for me, I think all of these photo walks and especially the first one that She Has Film one, it was just an introduction to the community. And I've just learned so much from other people. I just can't tell you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just everything that you learn. It's like I feel like every time I go to a photo walk and I start talking to someone, I just feel like connected to that person. And I also feel like it's so enriching. It's such an enriching experience.
I remember the She Hearts Film walk I did, and then I put a video on my stories as I was coming home on the tube, and I was just like, I can't even describe it. I was so ecstatic, but the feeling, I was like, oh my God, guys, I just love women. We're amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I've had the best day. I feel so inspired. I feel so motivated. And I mean, sometimes you feel slightly drained too, because it's a lot of socializing and chatting. But in general, I think, if you're in like a creative slump or just feeling a bit down, like there's been, I think you did a photo walk at the beginning of last year. It was quite cold in Shoreditch, and I was wearing that like colourful ski jacket. Do you remember?
I do.
And I think that walk started at 11 and I got there about 2. I just felt really rubbish. I didn't want to leave the house. I just shoved that jacket on. I had no makeup on. And afterwards, I was so glad I went because it's just like good for your soul. I can't explain it. Like, it's enriching. It gets you out. You talk to people. It's human connection, which I think we kind of lack sometimes in social media world.
They're
just the best. I miss them.
Yeah, well, I guess now because of your where you are, but yeah, that's that's it because it's just that connection that you create. And I remember that same day, I was having the same feelings. I came back home and I thought, what's just happened? I've met like such amazing people today, and I've had such meaningful conversations, and I just felt with such a good energy, you know, inside. It was like, yeah. It kind of like, it felt like it woke me up from like a dream. Like I was just like a bit lethargic maybe, and then I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is a great community that we have.
Yeah, it's so cheesy, but it's so true.
It is. Yeah, so now let's go to the section called PACS, Pleasing Analog Camera Sounds. And today, Emma is going to use her camera to take a photo. You're going to enjoy the sound, and then you will have to try and guess which camera it is. Okay, let's go for it, Emma.
Okay, hopefully we got it.
Yeah, you have to send me the photo when you get it. Okay, so, well, I think we're coming to the end of this episode, but just to remind you, we're having two projects for the International Women's Day. So Emma's project is the Film Swap. So remember to use that hashtag and you know, get your work printed. And my project is going to be photographing women film photographers, and I've just set 1 year from today to get this done. So please help me out if you want to pose for me with your camera, please. I will be very grateful. Thank you. But yeah, okay. So thank you, Emma, so much for being here on this podcast. And I hope we can all hear your podcast soon as well, right?
Yeah, we're both on the Sunny 16 Present feed, so we're like podcast besties.
Yes, that's it. I like that. Well, yeah, okay, so thank you everyone for listening, and keep shooting, but keep shooting film. Bye.
Thanks, Mandy. Miss you.
Miss you too.
Bye.